Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very geeky show. A tiny listen to his mother.
Social Geek.
Good evening, Social Geek Radio listeners. This is Deb Evans, president of Franchise Foundry, coming to you live from Houston, Texas.
And this is Jack Munson of Minalto Incorporated, coming to you live tonight from Omaha, Nebraska. How are you, Deb?
I'm good. And hopefully we didn't scare our guests away with our Social Geek jingle that I haven't heard in a while.
That was my little surprise for you. What did you think? It's kind of like Retro Wednesday here on Social Geek Radio. It is 8 o'clock in the East, 5 o'clock in the West. This is Social Geek Radio. And the other surprise I had for you, Deb, I just wanted to make sure that you weren't planning on going to the Smithsonian Institution anytime in the near future.
I knew you were going to say that. No, my selfie stick and I know that we cannot go into the Smithsonian together. And nor can I take that selfie stick on the plane and carry on baggage, or they will confiscate it.
Oh, really? Wow.
Absolutely. So
Is that a TSA no-no at this point?
Apparently so. Someone gave me fair warning when I was at IFA, and I was having fun with that selfie stick, and they said, do not take it, because they saw somebody at TSA confiscate one. It's like, really?
Wow.
Why? Because you know why?
Wow.
It's a weapon. I could use
yeah.
it as a weapon.
Sure, sure. You never know what you might do with that. And I just like that the Smithsonian actually put out a press release as you know, government agencies are like to do, but they also tweeted about it and shared the press release on Twitter from their official Twitter account at Smithsonian. This was from noon today. Our policy on, and you'll love this, hashtag selfie sticks. Take those selfies, but leave the stick in your bag. So,
oh my
that's
God,
the...
I did not see that. That's priceless. They're very social. They have a Twitter handle, but they're not going to allow you to use the selfie stick.
So good for them that they're communicating with people
mm-hmm.
over Twitter. But leave the selfie stick at home. So anyway, Deb, tonight we've got a great guest that we should get to right away. Someone who we were chatting with, what's it been now, 2 weeks since the IFA 2015 event in Las Vegas. It seems like it was just yesterday that I finally got home from Las Vegas. But joining us tonight is the president of Synergy Home Care, Mr. Rick Bash. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well. Great to be with you both.
Well, thanks for joining us. It's good to talk to you again here after chatting a bit in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. You and I actually met, I don't know how many years ago it was, but we first met at an IFA, and it kind of made me think about all of the new people that any of us met this year, and it's like, yeah, we'll still be chatting with that guy two,
mm-hmm.
three, 5 years from now. So thanks for joining us. It was great to see you at the event. Tell us a bit about your experience this year at the IFA. Anything that really stands out as far as some of your favorite sessions or events or speakers?
Sure. Well, you know, I've been attending these conventions for well over a decade now. And what I really enjoy is the opportunity to kind of rekindle relationships and see old friends and make new friends and kind of take the pulse of the franchising industry. So, you know, for me personally, I really like enjoying some of the keynote sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the years, I've had the pleasure of hearing from George and Barbara Bush and Bill Clinton and Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and, you know, some real thought leaders. And, you know, I thought this this year's address by Mike Duke, who is the retired CEO of Walmart, was really interesting, particularly in light of Walmart's recent decision to increase the minimum wage for its workers to $10 an hour across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting timing. I think they released that news about a week after Mike Duke spoke. Is that right?
Yeah, it was about then, and obviously that's a huge issue for all of us, but particularly for us in the non-medical home care sector, where we're dealing with tens of thousands of caregivers across the country. You know, it's a pretty significant issue. So I thought the timing on that was really interesting. I also always enjoy the sessions on improving franchisee performance and profitability.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to me. I think there's a big difference between the types of franchisors out there. And you can always tell the great franchisors from the good, because the great ones are equally as concerned about their franchisees' profitability as they are their own. And I just think that, you know, happy franchisees, happy everything is kind of my model.
Right. I love it.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
That's very true. Was there anyone specifically speaking about that you can think of, or, you know, someone leading one of the sessions or anything that was really drilling down to that level?
Yeah, you know, I can't recall off the top of my head who was speaking in that particular session, but I know that, you know, I follow a lot of the luminaries, a lot of the thought leaders in the business, and I've always kind of had a personal respect for Joe Matthews, Franchise Performance Group. I think
uh-huh.
Joe's done a great job at just sort of, you know, thinking about these things in the big picture. Matter of fact, Joe was one of the first guys I met when I started in the franchising industry many, many years ago, and I was so impressed with his perspective. And, he kind of gave me a foundation for respect. And it also doesn't hurt that I was a franchisee myself. So I really do, I am able to see kind of both sides of the table, if you will.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, Rick. What system were you a part of as a franchisee?
I owned a franchise with the Little Gym International. So,
that's where I remember you from, more so
right.
than anything else.
Right. The Little Gym International. So I've somehow managed to go from kids to seniors. So I've bridged that gap.
Spanning a lifetime here, Rick. That's
right.
Exactly. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you know what? That brings that gives you a pretty unique perspective, because you know there's so many people that really are coming at this whole business model from just one angle, but. You've got a couple of angles that you're seeing everything through, from franchisee and now CEO, and we'll get into some of your social media and your content marketing here in just a bit. But before we leave the subject of this year's IFA, was there anything that just really, you know, knocked your socks off as far as, you know, something new or innovative or anything like that at this year's convention?
Yeah, well, I really like what I'm seeing these days on the franchise development front. You know, it was only a few short years ago when it was essentially the shotgun approach and, you know, talk to as many people as you can, just be everywhere, be all things to everyone, squeeze them into the funnel, and let's see what kind of drops out of the bottom. And,
uh-huh.
you know, I think that element of our business is really changing. It's morphing into something much more sophisticated, and it's going from more of a franchisor-centric model that's really all about them to more of a candidate-centric model that's more about the passion and telling a compelling story and emotionally engaging with a candidate at a very personal level. And so it's becoming less of a numbers game and more about quality and the personalization of the experience. And, you know, people don't want to be sold. I mean, who wants to be
right.
sold something? You know, they want to be engaged. They want to be raving fans. They want to be part of something revolutionary. And I think that if you look at the way that sort of the more sophisticated people are looking at the franchise development element, they're really starting to be more selective, more targeted, and go into more of that emotional engagement. And I think that's healthy for our industry.
I absolutely agree. It seems like we're catching up with some other industries that are really looking at, not just selling something, but looking for the appropriate and the buyers who are in sort of the right place in their life that they are looking to make a purchase and maybe using some new technology and some new tools and ways of communicating to drill down to those people. So it definitely is an exciting time. Speaking of those technologies, you've been doing a lot of stuff. If anyone's connected to you on LinkedIn, and I'm sure there are 1,000 people out there who are, they've been seeing a lot of content coming from you, especially, I would say, over the past 6 months or so in the form of these LinkedIn published posts. Tell us about that. You've been really active there. How did that sort of come about, and what started you down that road?
Well, first of all, writing's in my blood, and I just enjoy it. My father was a professor at Stanford University, so I grew up on the Stanford campus, and he was a pretty prolific author in his own right. I can even remember as a kid growing up and constantly hearing the typewriter. At the time, it was an IBM Selectric typewriter in the background, and I still remember the day he brought home the very first Apple II Plus computer. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, with the green screen and those giant floppy disk drives. And it was just so weird because all of a sudden his little office became silent. I could hear these little – so it was a revolution. But I find writing to be very cathartic. It relaxes me. It allows me to express some of the joys and frustrations that we all feel on a kind of day-to-day basis. And, I just enjoy it. So what I found is that posting on LinkedIn, I like the format. It's easy. It's simple. You can import graphics. It formats everything properly. So, frankly, I just really enjoy it.
Are you seeing a lot of readers or people who are following your LinkedIn published posts now that maybe wouldn't actually follow a blog or subscribe to a blog or go out to some other site? Is it really sort of a location thing where people are already on LinkedIn, so it's pretty easy to take a look at that new piece that you wrote?
Yeah, I just in looking at the number of connections I've made and my quote-unquote followers, it's really a very diverse base of people. But I think what kind of unites everyone, what bonds everyone, is this desire and passion for business. And that's what I like mm-hmm. about the LinkedIn platform. I mean, there's a place for cats playing the piano, right? there's a place for, a trillion selfies. But, we all have such limited time in our lives that I just choose to spend my time in a place where I can actually learn something and help to grow my business and myself. So I just really like the LinkedIn platform from a viewer's perspective. I'm getting a lot of interesting people that are following me and kind of listening along.
Good. So you are getting some good results connecting with some new people and sort of spreading the message that way.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, actually. I mean, I'm a business intelligence guy. I love the metrics. And, of course, LinkedIn has these built-in metrics where you can, you can see where you rank and you can take a look at where you rank versus people in your industry and your peers and things. And I just enjoy that. I'm also a little bit on the competitive side. So, frankly, I always like to try to increase my rankings. But,
right.
I think it also has to do with my strategy for LinkedIn. So let me explain what I mean briefly. Some people have chosen a very narrow strategy. So, for example, franchising experts only write about, franchising. And I think that's great, and it's really cool, and some of the articles are excellent, but I think it's a very narrow window. On the other end of the extreme, you have people that write about, you know, just everything under the sun, and you know, they post inspirational quotes and they do all kinds of stuff, and that's neat, but it's too broad. So, you know, my strategy was to try to write articles that engage the reader either emotionally or that provide some value to them, where they can actually use the links or get some tips out of it. And then, of course, when you get down to the end of the article, it has my information. I always want to get Synergy Home Care out there because I am the
sure.
president of Synergy
mm-hmm.
Home Care. So I've found that's created a nice niche.
So how often are you publishing on LinkedIn? Do you have a strategy as far as a goal that you're trying to publish so many times a day, a week, or is it just when you've got something really of value to share?
I try to make it a point to publish twice a week, and I kind of told myself I'm going to do that. When it comes to sharing little information and kind of liking other people's posts, I try to do that stuff at least a couple times a day just to
mm-hmm.
sort of stay relevant and stay out there. But, you know, the publishing part takes a little more skill and time
sure.
because I'm doing some research and I'm actually writing it and putting, you know, pen to paper, and that's – so I for me, about twice a week seems to work quite well.
Good. Okay.
And we should explain, too, for people who haven't really jumped into this pool, this is a lot more than just sharing an update. And I think LinkedIn could do a little bit better with its terminology. That's just my opinion. When we're talking about creating a post, that's actually, in my view, you're actually creating a blog. You're creating a blog post, which is so much more than what people typically think of when they think of a social media channel, especially Facebook or Twitter, where you're just sharing something that's, you know, two sentences long. This is something that really could be a little bit more long form. So, and like you said, Rick, with images and you know, other graphics and things like that that you can create in these posts. So twice a week, that's pretty aggressive, I've got to say. That's do you find yourself being challenged to come up with content for that schedule of posting?
Hey, you know, it's interesting, knock on wood, so far I have not been challenged. I mean, I have, frankly, more to write about than I can get down on paper because, frankly, I'm writing about things that are affecting me in my, you know, my real life. And
mm-hmm.
being the president of one of the nation's largest non-medical home care franchises, there's a lot going on. So there's a lot going on from a franchisor perspective, from a franchisee perspective, a lot going on in the industry, in franchising in general. So there's a ton of information out there to talk about. I think what takes a little while is perspective, kind of putting my spin on things and trying to communicate information in such a way that doesn't seem cheesy or salesy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
That's the challenge. You know, we've all read articles and they start off pretty good, and you get halfway through them when you realize that it's just a big infomercial. And from what I've seen, people on LinkedIn kind of frown. They frown on that because you can see right through it. So I try not to be too overly salesy. I get my information in about my organization, my company, but I try to do it in such a way that it's not an infomercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. I'll tell you what I like about it. I love when I open up LinkedIn and I see an alert that one of my connections has published a new post on LinkedIn
mm-hmm.
posts. That's so much more valuable to me than, and I'll just get on my soapbox to complain for just 30 seconds here, than this pulse situation that's happening on LinkedIn right now where they're trying to be more of a news feed type situation with the recommended articles from a bunch of people who, quite frankly, I've never heard of. And I'll tell you, it's starting to get pretty political, and there's starting to be some very blatantly salesy pieces coming into the pulse section. So Rick, when I see one of your posts come up in my notifications, it's a welcome change from from the stuff that LinkedIn wants to spoon feed to me. So are either of you seeing more and more of that in the Pulse section, just sort of news that you look at and you're like, why are they serving me this?
I have not noticed that, but then I'm going to be honest here and transparent and say I haven't been on LinkedIn as much as I should be. I've been focusing on the other social platforms, and I do love LinkedIn, and I think Rick's helping guide me back to it because there's value there.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you, Jack. I think that you know, what's interesting to me is LinkedIn's sort of arbitrary choosing of who is an influencer, for example. They have this section called an influencer with an in, looks like LinkedIn. But,
right.
You know, these influencers, you post a blog, and instead of sort of a rather narrow distribution where you're posting it to your connections and your followers and people in certain segments, LinkedIn sort of says, okay, we're going to open up the entire world to you. And that's where you start to get, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of views. And, you know, what's a little frustrating to me is that there's no way to achieve that level regardless of what you post or how often you post. It's completely arbitrary. So I find that a little bit challenging.
Yeah, I would guess that this is a work in progress. The whole influencer model and the Pulse recommended news on LinkedIn. I'll guess that 6 months from now it will look dramatically different. And I only say that due to the fact that I see a lot of other people with comments and suggestions and complaints about it too. So. Real quick, this is Social Geek Radio, and our guest tonight is Rick Bash, president of Synergy Home Care. Let's talk a little bit about Synergy, Rick. What's going on over at Synergy these days? Any big projects you guys are working on?
Sure. I thought you'd never ask. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it sure is nice to be working in a sector like home care with such a positive service and such a great message. And frankly, in a market that's just growing exponentially, you know, what I love about this is really it's a need, right? It's people don't just get bored and say, you know, I'm going to search for home care. They're searching for us when they have a specific need. And typically it's mom or dad or getting a little bit older and perhaps it's a mental issue or some physical challenges, but, you know, they need us. So, you know, that feels good. I've been involved in a number of different sectors, from children's to automotive and a number of other concepts. And you know, this particular sector, I think, has tremendous legs way out into the future. So, I'll tell you, in terms of what we're doing, I'm pretty excited about a new initiative we launched. And I think we all probably know, those of us in franchising probably know, that there are no shortage of competitors in the home care space. I think if you look at the top of the pyramid, there are only a few really large companies, but there are a lot of other smaller organizations that really want to get in on the action.
Sure.
So when I came to Synergy a few years ago, frankly, from my perspective, we had an identity crisis, right? So, for example, if you asked 20 of our franchisees, you know, what makes us unique, not only would you hear 20 different answers, but the answers were not particularly, there was no wow factor. It was, you know, we have great caregivers, we have great training, and we answer our phones, you know, just basic stuff. So what the company did was we came up with one concise single answer for the question, why Synergy? You know, why should I go with Synergy Home Care? And it sounds like this. Why Synergy? Because we care. We're the only organization of our kind with a proprietary care team approach. And at Synergy, CARE stands for Coordinated and Responsive Engagement. And what really makes us unique is we don't just provide home care, we provide solutions. It's game changer. It's a game changer. So now when I'm at our annual convention and I'm standing up in front of our entire system and I ask the system why Synergy, I can't tell you how rewarding it is to hear in unison, because we care. And, you know, we're now on brand, we're now on message, and that's a big differentiator.
Sure, sure. That's fantastic. And how long have you been with Synergy now, Rick?
Coming on 3 years now.
Okay. So that's a relatively short amount of time, but it sounds like your system is all sort of rowing in the same direction now, right?
Yeah. I mean, like any system, we have our challenges. We're by no means perfect, but I'd say that from a consistency standpoint, technologically, in just unit growth, pretty much any element of our business is heading in the right direction and heading mm-hmm. in the right direction well. So I feel very good about our growth and direction at the time, right now.
Nice.
Excellent. I did want to mention real quick your book, Behind the Franchise Curtain. Mm-hmm. Any new projects, either as far as books or anything else with the Synergy? Any new projects or special things you're working on in the next year or so?
Well, let me talk about the book for a minute. First of all, I'm under no misconception that my book is going to hit the New York Times bestseller list. You know, to be honest with you, I wrote most of the book while I was in the air. I really did, because there are only so many movies you can watch.
Right.
And I was doing, you know, I was doing so much traveling that, you know, I started just jotting down notes, and the notes kind of became chapters, and the chapters expanded. So it kind of came from there. And I, you know, I tried to design a book that was a fun and light read, and an easy to digest kind of intro to the core elements of franchise. And, you know, what I tell new franchisees and even new candidates is, you know, when you buy a new car and you open the glove box, there's an owner's manual in there, and you can pull it out and leaf through it, and it'll tell you everything you want to know about the car. Well, I come with an owner's manual, and my owner's manual is my book. So if you want to know who I am and what I'm all about, read my book. And I really do manage this franchise based on the ideas that I created in that book. So, you know, people seem to relate well to that.
I love it. Do you have any sort of test questions that you throw out to anybody that you're working with to see if they've read it?
That's funny. And we do what's called Synergy Home Care University, which is our training platform for all new franchise partners. And yeah, you know, my book is based on what I call the 10 key elements of franchising. And I'll ask them, I'll say, can anyone name, you know, one of the elements? If they don't know one of those elements, I got them.
Right.
I know they didn't read anything, so there you go.
Right. I'm sure they could get one of those from the Amazon page, right? I mean,
they probably
take a whole
could.
Lot of work to get one, right? So
yeah, and
so,
you know,
great.
Frankly, if they were that industrious, I'd love it. More power to them.
Right, right. Well, again, the book is called Behind the Franchise Curtain. Check it out now. It is available on Amazon. Check out what some of those elements are. Rick, my favorite question to ask every week is, what's one piece of advice you would give other franchise executives? You know, something that's really working for you that you would recommend that everybody else take a look at.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I would say, if there's one piece of advice, that as a group, we as franchisors need to stop constantly asking ourselves what we want, and we need to start asking ourselves, what do our franchisees want? What do our potential franchisees want? What do clients want? You know, I mean, our whole care philosophy, right, coordinated and responsive engagement, is based on caring. So I think we need to start really caring about the success of our franchisees, about the quality of the service we're providing to our clients, and the quality of our support. And I think if we do that, I think we'll see significant drop in things like litigation across the franchise spectrum, which frankly has, you know, kind of plagued this industry for a lot of years.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Great advice.
Very
one last
good.
Thing, what's the best way for someone to connect with you? Is it via email, via LinkedIn? What's a good way if people have follow-up questions from tonight?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be true to myself unless I went back to LinkedIn. So I'm going to say jump on LinkedIn. Just look me up. Look up Richard J. Bash, and my profile will pop right up there with my picture looking very studious. And then I list my email information. I actually list my contact phone number, and it's all in there. So that really is the best way to get a hold of me. Plus, it has the added benefit of getting you to jump on LinkedIn if you haven't done so in a while. So there you go.
Right, right. Very good. Excellent. Rick, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yep.
Great conversation, great advice, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Oh, it's
thanks,
been my
Rick.
Pleasure. Thank you both.
We'll talk
All
soon.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.